T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Thank you, Dave. We're going to talk about disinformation now and people on the extreme ends of both sides of the political spectrum can fall for foreign disinformation. And how do we counter it? I think a big reason for that is if you're on either end, you're more likely to react emotionally. And when you react emotionally, logic kind of goes out the window. Todd Helmes joins us. Senior behavioral scientist at the RAND Corporation, and I'm looking forward to talking to you, sir, and I appreciate your time. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the program.
Are people greatly underestimating the impact of Russia meddling with this election? Well, meddling might be too soft of a term, but Russia's interference in this election?
There's certainly no lack of, there's a lot going on now. On both sides of the aisle are engaged in a lot of different types of misinformation campaigns. And Russia is certainly playing a part in that. And I'm not sure whether or not people are recognizing it or not, but I'd assume it's not on most people's radar.
What is the goal here of Russia? What are they trying to do? Is it to boost one candidate over the other, or is it to just, in general, delegitimize the election and make people wonder, well, wait a minute, did my candidate really win or lose?
They probably love the latter. We do know from the Mueller report and the intelligence agencies that they did that their campaign in 2016 did attempt to favor one candidate over another. I think we're hearing from the FBI that that is continuing. I think one of the stories that is less told is the fact that in addition to efforts to sort of sway people's minds about the election, is they want to sway people's minds against each other. And they do that by, at least we know that in 2016 and up through 2019, they do that in part by sending out memes. They use fake accounts and targeted advertisement and Facebook groups and the like to put content in front of people that, you know, really riles them up and upsets them at each other. A lot of it is the classic political meme that they're using, sending conservative audiences content of really extreme content about gun rights Confederate heritage issues, among many others, and then also sending content on the liberal side attempting to sort of do the same.
Just to be clear, when you say meme, you're talking about a picture with some kind of slogan on it or something like that?
That's right. That's right. I mean, just the real classic thing that we all send out and you think of, you know, the cute little baby memes with, I don't know, I've seen one with a baby, you know, having the big biceps and things like that. And they're fun to share and talk about. But, you know, Russia has been using them very adeptly, I think, from 2016 on to the present. And, you know, what memes do is they stir people up. They don't really convey a true or false message. Their memes don't send something for you to think deeply about. They send something for you to react to. And that's what Russia wants to have happen.
When it comes to memes, the first thing I think of is there's not a lot of deep thought put into this. There's not a lot of deep critical thinking. It's, yeah, that's what I feel, or this is funny. Yeah, that'll show them. that kind of thing. And as soon as you get people to stop critically thinking, I would think 90% of the battle is over with.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, we could have an academic conversation. There's two ways you can use persuasion. One, you can get people to think really carefully about a topic, and convince them with the arguments. And the other side is you just get people to think emotionally about a topic, either because they love the speaker of the topic, or the topic itself sets off an emotional reaction. And we, in our experiment, we tested actual Russian propaganda memes with audiences on a Facebook survey, and that's what we got. We got right-leaning conservative audiences reacting really emotionally positive to conservative content that Russia put out, and we've got left-leaning audiences who react emotionally positive to the left-leaning content that Russia put out.
How do you know that it's Russian content? And let me take a second here, if I can, Todd, and invite the audience in to text us on the Mortgage Financial phone and text line at 504-260-1870. We're talking about foreign disinformation. How do you know it when you see it, and how do you counter it, and how do you, and I would think this is a very big part of it as well, how do you keep yourself from passing it along and doing the work of the Russians? So getting back to the content, how do you know that it's Russian content?
Well, we know that it's Russian content because the content we used was from the 2016 election. This has been content that has been identified by Facebook as part of the Russian persuasion campaign, and Facebook has various techniques to know that it was, I presume, from the metadata and who paid for the advertisement. And that's been verified through various hearings and whatnot in front of Congress. So we're really confident that this is Russian content.
Is it like any misdirection thing where they, like a magician, they don't want you looking at what they're doing? They try to create a diversion over here so you're paying attention to that, and you lose track of what's actually going on, or three-card Monty or what have you. That's how this whole thing works, where they try to get you stirred up against me, and then before you know it, it's personal, and the critical thinking, the content part of it is we just presume it to be true whether it is or not?
Oh, they would love that. I definitely think that that's what they would like to have happen. I mean, you think about your neighbor, and you like your neighbor, he's a good guy, but you guys have different views on taxes and gun control and the like, but you can still get along. I think what Russia would like to have happen is as you're exposed to this type of content and you start reacting very emotionally to it, and you start seeing the other guy as less than, this normal guy with a different opinion, but more like this crazy guy with this crazy opinion. And now you really have a hard time having conversations about taxes and the lawn and the hedges. I think they'd love to have that happen.
I don't know how it started. We got to take a break here. We'll pick it up when we come back. At some point, we stopped looking at people that, if you're a Republican looking at Democrats or Democrats looking at Republicans, the word enemy came into this, and they came into this as opposed to us. And it seems like we lost track of the fact, and this is just my opinion, that rather than somebody that's a Democrat being the enemy, it's somebody that lives down the street, that works, that pays taxes, that just has a different idea of how the country should be run, and their voice is as important as mine, at least if you go back to the Constitution. And I don't know if the Russians are to blame for that, or if you can go back in terms, Todd Helmus, of behavioral science, is there a mark when that or a time stamp when that kind of became to be? I don't know that it's always been that way, but we'll talk more. I think it's a fascinating subject. Anytime you talk about behavioral science, I could talk about that for 8 hours. Todd Helmus, senior behavioral scientist at the RAND Corporation, talking about disinformation and foreign interference. If you have any questions or comments, please text them in to the Mortgage Financial phone and text line at 504-260-1870. And I'll pass them along. It's 9:18. We'll be right back here on WWL. 9:10, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to, oh, by the way, it's Wednesday, October 21st. If you're just getting your day started, that would be 13 days until Election Day. Early voting is already underway in most of the parishes in the area. It starts at 8 o'clock, runs till 7. According to the Secretary of State's office and the rules, it can't start later than 8:30, but I think just about all of them open up at 8 o'clock, and of course the response has been huge. Todd Helmis, our guest, senior behavioral scientist at the RAND Corporation, and we're talking about foreign disinformation and how people on the extreme ends of both sides of political spectrum fall for it and how do we counter it. So, Todd, before we went to the break, it seems like the first thing you got to do if you're going to engage in disinformation is get people either willing to believe it or embrace it or condition them somehow to do that. And I don't know, can you go back and find a turning point where we began to look at Democrats, if you're a Republican, some Republicans look at Democrats as, quote, the enemy. Some Democrats look at Republicans as them and us and so forth. Has it always been like that in this country? And how did we go from, no, a Democrat, if I'm a Republican, is not the enemy. He's just a guy who lives down the street and has a different view on how the country is run, and he's fully entitled to that view. Or if I'm a Democrat, she's a Republican, lives down the street and has a different idea, and of course she's entitled to that as well. Is there a turning point that you can point to, a tipping point?
I don't know when that tipping point happened. I do know that over the last 5 to 10 years or so, there's been really a growing trend for this merging of fact and opinion, that sort of RAND calls the truth decay, and they have an excellent report out on that topic. So this has been a broader societal trend that, you know, as you mentioned now, is just really amped up. And I feel like it's almost unfair to blame me. You can't blame Russia for this. And I feel like we are our own best enemy here, because I think so many people spend a lot of time on Facebook and Facebook groups where, you know, the content that's being put out is really just very Russian-like. Hyper-partisan, a lot of memes, a lot of emotional type stuff. And people spend a lot of time in these groups, and I feel like we can get our own selves radicalized for that.
It seems to me, you're talking about the Russians being responsible for the divide. It seemed as though they saw that and then swooped in and really began to take advantage of it. What is reflexive control theory? Can you explain that, Todd, and give us an idea about what that is?
Reflexive control theory is a theory, Russian strategy, put out by a guy named Vladimir Lefebvre, and he was an old Russian strategist. And it is a we believe that is a model that's really been informing Russia's approach. And the model really rests on the tenet that people live in a polarized world of cooperation versus conflict, and it would predict that Russia would use propaganda as a way to sort of trigger reactions that drive people to ideological extremes, making consensus really hard to achieve. And we see that, and that's eminently seeable in the content that Russia put out in 2016, and we see that in our data when we show people that content.
So tell me again, because I didn't quite grasp it. I'm sorry.
No, it's a Russian. It's a Russian theory. It's a Russian strategy from the 1960s of Soviet military literature, and it just suggests that Russia. It really suggests, it predicts in a big way that Russia would try to use this content to trigger emotional extreme reactions in people to make it really hard for people to get along. That's really what it says. And when we see the types of content that Russia puts out, we see that that's in fact what they're doing. It's content targeting conservatives, highlighting how terrible liberals are and vice versa. So we're seeing that play out on our social media screens.
You know, I get a text from somebody on our mortgage financial phone and text line. Again, that number is 504-260-1870. In essence saying, yeah, well, guess what? We do it too. And I got to believe that kind of plays into the hands of the Russians, because at some point, an unspoken part of that is, well, the Russians and we are the same. regardless of whatever it is that what we try to spread around the world or what Russia tries to spread around the world, what our value system is here in this country, what theirs is. And then I'll expand into Vladimir Putin, how I can guarantee you from the text I get, and I'm guessing from the extreme right, some people are beginning to think that Russia and Vladimir Putin, that somehow these people are our friends and our allies and not our adversaries. So I would think, is that a self-inflicted wound or is that part of the whole Russian game to begin with?
I don't know if it was the Russian game to begin with. I don't know. I mean, if you could go back to the 2016 election and Hillary Clinton was certainly no fan of Russia, and probably her policies when she was Secretary of State may have played into that. So they may have been eager to not be supportive of her in that election. I don't, it's hard to tell like whether or not they really gamed that part of it out. But the end result is that people are becoming, attaching greater affinity to Russia than we have in the past.
And I don't know how old you are, but I'm close to 50, and it just drives me crazy after going through the 80s and so forth and knowing Russia and their quest for world domination and taking over the United States, that they want everything we have, and how somebody could actually think, people that have lived through that time, that now Russia is our friend, especially in light of the interference that they've undertaken in our elections. That just baffles me. Is there any kind of theory that explains this?
Is it I don't know, but I think syndrome? I think like you, I myself went through the drills in elementary school, preparing for a nuclear attack. So, those things sort of resonate strongly with me. So I certainly appreciate your opinion on that.
It drives me crazy when I hear this, Todd. So how do we counter these efforts? What can the United States do? And when it comes to other countries, maybe that Russia has attempted to do this, how do we make it a little bit better?
Well, I mean, there's a long list of policies we could sort of walk through and probably bore your audience. We in our study, we showed that if people are aware of the source of this content, that they no longer have that real positive emotional reaction. We also know that if we show them a media literacy video, that they're less likely to press the like button on some of this content. So, those are certainly media literacy programming can help protect audiences, preferably to recognize when they're trying to be influenced and to think twice about it. And to think twice about the sources of content. So those are certainly important, but that's a long-term solution, getting, folks access to that type of education. The U.S. government obviously has to have a very strong stance on this and to tell Russia that this type of activity and behavior is unacceptable and identify some consequences that would be incurred if Russia were to continue that. And there are certainly regions in this world that are more at risk than the United States, if you can believe that. And I think the United States needs to offer some support to those regions as well.
I get a text here attacking me personally, which is no big deal. It comes with the job. But I just find it interesting that whomever this is that is texting this in and taking up for the Russians, I don't think they realize that they're playing exactly into the hands of the Russians. And that terrifies me. Not that somebody wants to call me a name or anything, but the fact that the Russians are making those kind of inroads, wow, I don't know. Thank you, Todd. I appreciate your time.
I have to hand it to the Russians. I really do. As a guy who studied information operations for the last 15 years or so, Russia did a really good job, and they innovated on social media like nobody had like state actors had not innovated before. And so I do hand it to them for a well-executed campaign.
I don't see anything slowing them down, do you?
No. Well, yeah. the platforms are working hard to try and detect this stuff and remove it. Facebook sends out notes every now and then saying we found a campaign and we terminated it. But, we, in one of our studies, we identified a very large presence of very Russian-like troll content on Twitter. That's just this year. And I'm not sure Twitter removed it. So, No, there's probably nothing stopping them from continuing to do this type of stuff.
Appreciate your time. Thank you, Todd Helmuth, Senior Behavioral Scientist at the RAND Corporation. Interesting conversation. It is 9:34 now. We're going to take a break. There was an event yesterday at Mardi Gras World that really dramatized the plight of a lot of workers here in Louisiana. They did it with empty chairs. Billy Nungesser will join us, Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana, to explain it. But it goes back to the politics of stimulus and how you're not going to see anything till November 3rd. I can guarantee you that, because neither side is willing to budge if they think the other side in any way can gain any political advantage from that. Let's take a look at traffic now on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.